السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to Radio Islam International, the Sunday morning with myself, Ubaidullah Bawja, and you with me, inshaAllah ta'ala, for another 2 hours and just under a little bit of that. And inshaAllah, we're discussing today with regards to the children, teaching them of Quran al-Kareem, getting them into the habit of learning and reciting of Quran al-Kareem, and making it such that our children from a very, very small age, they are able to inculcate within themselves the ability to read the Quran correctly, the ability to learn the Quran correctly, and then we learn the techniques, we learn methods, and we learn ways to be able to sit with our kids, and we will be able to learn how to actually deal with them when it comes to the Holy Quran. One important aspect I would like to bring as an introduction to the topic is the fact that for us to be able to teach our children, for us to be able to inculcate the message to our children, we need to know the message ourselves. For us to learn to teach our children, we need to be able to be taught first. Thereafter, we will have the ability, we will have the capacity, and we will have that know-how to be able to bring within ourselves the ability to be teachers of the Quran to our children whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And for that, we have our guest online this morning, the same who we had last week, Qari Muntaha. Qari sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for joining us this Sunday morning. I know you must be very tired spending the night in Qiyamul Layl, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our program a success.
Ameen. Jazakallah for having me on for a second time, inshallah.
No, I must say from last week I received many requests for the book that you have authored. I forwarded to those people, and really it was an amazing response from them. I just want to give the listeners a brief background. Qari Muntaha Kenny is the founder and the principal of the Darul Quran Institute. There are over 60 learners that as young as 3 years old that have already begun memorizing of the Holy Quran. As a qualified teacher and mentor in early childhood development, he has also developed a learning stimulation program that integrates the Islamic and the Hifz studies as well as the government expected outcomes. So merging the two, he was able to create some sort of a synergy between the two, and he would like to impart some of that aspect to us this morning. As an introduction, Qari sahab, why is it important to teach children, even before going to the methodology, but to teach them from a young age to learn and memorize of the Holy Quran?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Early childhood development, or what is known as, in short as ECD, is extremely important in terms of teaching children and the development of children. And I think that is where we need to start with in terms of understanding how a child develops and how a child actually learns. So if we look at early childhood development and what basically is early childhood development, right? Early children from young ages, or from the formative age of the child, we would discover that children, they develop rapidly, whether it is the cognitive development, physical, social development, emotional development, etc. There are major changes in the process that the child learns, and these changes and this will, in most cases, stay with the child for the rest of that child's life. So it is important from the onset that the way that you teach the child as caregivers or as parents, that you do it in such a way that it would, the outcome of the child would be for the best interest of that particular child. We also learn that which something like this is nothing new in terms of our faith. Our Rasulullah has said that every child that is born with a natural inclination towards faith. It's born in a state of fitrah, and it is the parents that would determine the outcome, whatever they impress on the child, that would be the outcome in later time of the child's life, as to maybe possibly what religion the child will follow, etc. And this shows to us that very formative years, in terms of the child's growth will have a major impact on what the child will become in later years. We've seen also various studies has indicated to us that children, particularly who does not maybe attend school or is not introduced or exposed to literature, etc., that in later years they tend to drop out more easily out of school. Children who are not exposed to some type of development in the formative years, what happens is that they would be more engaged in criminal activities, and in fact, there's a whole situation for a country that does not have early development programs in place. It has a disastrous effect on the economics of that particular country in later years. So it is important that the generation, the young generation, are being equipped properly in terms of the early stages of development. Now, if we look at the impact of development, of early childhood development on a child, it prepares the child for lifelong learning. Whatever the child learns during these early times, it will stay and stick with the child for the rest of the child's life. So in terms, and that is also nothing foreign to us as Muslims, because we believe in that learning takes place from the cradle to the grave. And keeping that in mind and looking at early childhood development, we see that from the very first years, as a child is starting to talk, as a child is starting from crawling into walking and then into running and jumping, etc., the child is developing constantly, and that is all part of the learning process that the child has to undergo. Now, if we look at Islam and early childhood development, many of us, we take it for granted that the child develops on its own, that the child plays, and it is part of the development of the child, but there is a place for early childhood development in Islam, and there is importance being put on early childhood development or the development of young children in our religion as well. I may just give you one example that always comes to mind when I speak about early childhood development when it comes to from an Islamic perspective. One of our teachers, in fact, he's a giant in terms of early childhood development in South Africa. He made a very beautiful example on how children develop, or how, in terms of Islamic perspective, our children needs to develop. We know that a child is normally ready for formal schooling at the age of 7. At the same time also, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has indicated to us that at the age of 7, this is the time that we need to inculcate and to teach our children to perform prayer, to perform salah from the age of 7. So keeping that in mind, it teaches us that at this particular juncture in the young child's life, the child is now ready for formal education. Like you start your school at the age of 7, this shows to us that at the age of 7, the child is now ready to start or to learn to take on the responsibilities as a normal Muslim should take on. And in the very important aspect of Salah, which is fundamental, it is so important to do it, because it differentiates us between a Muslim and that of a non-Muslim. That is the criteria that we look at to perform Salah. So in that young age, he is taught this very important responsibility. Now, in learning how to perform Salah at the age of 7, there are certain things that should have happened before that in order for the child or developmental processes that needs to take place before the child is able to perform Salah. And from these things, in terms of the development of the child, you know that the child, when performing Salah, or when we perform Salah, we need to recite things from memory. The surah, Surah Fatiha, and other surahs that we recite from memory. There's various Al-Kar and these postures that we need to know also from memory. And these things is all part of cognitive development, the development of the brain to understand and to comprehend things, to retain things. And that is the one part that needs to be developed in order for a child to perform salah. And then also, another part of development is emotional as well as spiritual development. Our relationship with our Creator, speaking to our Creator, the child must have some sort of understanding that my particular state of mind when I perform salah, how do I converse with my Creator? And then social development, that also takes place in terms of learning how to make salah, respect what's for your surroundings, respect on how to, in terms of learning, that I'm learning it maybe from my mother, and the type of how I should treat the knowledge that is coming from my mother or whoever is teaching me, maybe the Afa or the Mualima at school. There is a development that goes, that takes place when a child is learning how to make salah. Language development as well. The child is learning how to converse, how to articulate himself, whether it is in the Arabic or in English or whatever other language. Language development is taking place. And then also learning and understanding his place, concept of time, concept of movement and postures. These are all part of mathematical development in the child that takes place while he is performing his prayer. And then finally, in terms of the developmental areas that are covered, when a child learns how to make salah, there is the physical development, of course, his movement, the different postures that is required for making salah. You will need to know all these things before making salah. So this shows to us that you can't at the age of 7 put the child in front and say, right, do this and do that, without having introduced the child to certain developmental procedures prior to him attaining the age of 7. And these that I have just mentioned, these 6 developmental stages that the child goes through, and that was the cognitive development, emotional and spiritual development, social development, language, mathematics, as well as physical development. These developments actually forms the core of what we would say is of early childhood development. It's universal standards that is practiced, of course, throughout the world. It has been adopted by our country, by South Africa, and it forms part, or it forms as the basis and cornerstone of our educational policy, which is known as the National Curriculum Framework of South Africa, and which means that every child in terms of our country has to go through this particular process. And I think to start this program, of it's important that we know and we realize that children need to learn from a young age, whether we're talking about learning the Quran or whether we're talking about going to school or pre-primary school. It's important that we introduce our children to some form of development or educational program so that they are able to prosper later in life. And in terms of our understanding where Islamic development comes from, that if performing salah, performing religious duties, and the understanding of religious duty for a young child would prepare the child to become a better Muslim, to prepare the child to become a better citizen in any country, and also, of course, to be, the child would become an asset or someone that would be able to benefit others better than if we did not start off or being introduced to early childhood development.
Gee, I think that's very true, Karisab. You know, one amazing aspect with regards to history in Islam, that any giant in the field of knowledge, we would find that his childhood always was filled with a teacher or a parent that was behind him, consistently making him and encouraging him to be able to move forward. The likes of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, the likes of Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, in their lifestyle, you would always find that in their life, there was always someone that motivated them in the very, very young stages of their life for them to be able to have achieved such phenomenal in terms of the field of language, field of education, and to be able to get such amazing results. But it always was somebody in the very early stages of their life that motivated them.
So 100%. If we look at, as you mentioned, the various examples, parents and caregivers have a tremendous amount of impact on the later life of what the child is going to become later on in life. And these, particularly the formative years, when the child is fresh, when the child is absorbing and learning and seeing everything around him or her, that is the time, the best time to impress good and beneficial knowledge on a child, because a child is going to live with that for the rest of their life. We know and we learn also that for the first, in fact, by the fourth year of the child's life, the child's brain has developed to 50% of that of an adult brain. The amount of words the child has learned up until that stage also is tremendous. The vocabulary development of the child. And you can see it with our little children, how they, you know, they start, maybe the first word would be dada. It would become daddy and so onwards. Well, sometimes it's mama first or whatever other way. But, you know, we can, when we see little children grow up, we see how they are developing, how the words are forming on their tongue. And by 5, 6 years old, you see, gosh, I mean, the child can speak a pocketful already. But that is how fast and how rapid their minds are working and developing. If you had to take that same instance and look at a person of 70 years old or 60 years old, and the person maybe has lost his speech and trying to learn speech anew, it won't go as fast, or the person won't be able to learn as fast as a young child.
Respected listeners, you are listening to Qari Muntaha Kenny, and we are speaking of childhood development as a prelude to what is going to come in the next part of the program, and that is, how do we sit and how do we teach our children at that young age the Quran Kareem? Qarisap has got, and if we can support Qarisap's madrasa in any way, financially, morally, in whichever way we can really do so, it's a worthy cause, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a success, inshallah. We come back, inshallah, in a few minutes, we pay the bills, and when we return, we get to the crunch of the matter, and that is teaching the learners and the children exactly how do we move forward in terms of getting them to be able to start learning Quran Kareem when we return, inshallah.
Africa. Even if it be with a single date, Ramadan in the midst of winter, feed a fasting person for iftar and suhoor for just 60 rand per day, or feed an entire family with the AMA Ramadan winter hamper at just 700 rand. Call Africa Muslims Agency now on 011-834-8685 or donate online at africamuslimsagency.co.za. Africa Muslims Agency, the agency that cares.
Life is full of ups and downs. Finishing school and going to varsity, definitely an up. Starting a job you hate, downer. Having a home-cooked meal with family you love, big up. Eating junk food at your desk, down. Cooking with Sunfoil, which is high in polyunsaturates and naturally cholesterol-free, two thumbs up. Perfect for cooking, frying and baking. Sunfoil is proud to be KZN's number one selling cooking oil. Sunfoil, bringing quality to life one drop at a time.
A message from Nando's. When the sun has set and it's time to break the fast, Ramadan is the perfect time to share. And what better way to share than with an iftar feast at Nando's? So call your family, call your friends, call your neighbors and get together at Nando's for a Ramadan sharing feast. Available at Nando's Fortsburg and OR Tambo International. Nando's, fire it up.
Brands Summer Price Meltdown. For the latest cut, labeled men's, ladies, and kiddies, local and international branded fashion wear for casual, formal, sleepwear, and activewear. Come and view our premium brands for the entire family for all occasions. Visit Brands at number 7 Hemsbrook Street, Lanesha, first floor next to Regal Gifts. Call us on 011-022-3142. Brands, clothing, footwear, and accessories.
This is part of Radio Islam's Ramadan Focus.
Hope is good as long as it doesn't become delusion. Fear is good as long as it doesn't become despair.
Ramadan, a season of change.
Explore alternate paths in achieving a Ramadan legacy and improving from year to year. In our special Ramadan package, Living the Legacy discovers transformational changes that achieve lasting habits. A key objective for this blessed month, we live the legacy through Surah Al-Mulk and share the true story of one woman's courage against all odds. Quran, courage, faith. Uncover your Ramadan legacy. Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Central African Time on Radio Islam with Hafidha Rayhana.
عن أنت والعطر الرداء مرحبا يا مرحبا أهلا
وسهلا You're listening to Radio Islam International.
مرحبا أهلا وسهلا يا
So respected listeners, we understand the importance and each one of us realizes how quickly our children, how quickly the younger ones, they actually are able to grasp from the environment they are in, from the situations whereby they learn from what they see. And naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them that they are that part of their life whereby they can take in so much so quickly, which sometimes it's even beyond our own understanding and our own imagination. And we see that with our little ones at home. But let's take that skill, let's take that ability and capacity, and let's use it for a cause which will not benefit them as much as it will benefit us. Because if we teach them and they leave this world, the one thing that will happen is every letter they will read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us. And to tell us more and to give us a few handy tips, we have with us Qari Muntaha Kenny. Qari Sahab, going towards the aspect, what can a parent do to be able to bring the Quran to the level of that child so that the child can grasp the basics and obviously go on towards the more complicated aspects of the recitation of Quran?
In terms of methodologies and in terms of tips that we can use for bringing our children closer to the Quran and the recitation and the memorization of the Quran, again, as per our discussion last week, there are certain items that needs to be in place, and these are extremely important and crucial for the later memorization of the Quran. And number one is the intention. As a parent, why am I doing this? It is the wish of every parent, if not for themselves, but for the children, for the least, that the child learns or are able to memorize the Quran or significant portions of the Quran, and for the parents too. Sometimes we never had that opportunity in our life to learn the Quran, and we so much want to do that. But at least for our children, let us give them the opportunity to do so. And it brings so much joy and warmth to the heart when we see our little ones starting with, they may be reciting the kalimas, or they're reciting small surahs from the Quran off by heart. It's such a beautiful experience that every parent wants to be part or wants to experience such type of joy when we see our little ones develop in terms of the Quran learning. And so our intention should be that when our child start, for our child to memorize the Quran, and also for our child not to do it because to show other children or to show other parents that my child knows this and my child, or for any type of show, but rather we do it for the pure pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make sure in an attempt for us to try and in our little ways to gain the pleasure of our Creator. So in terms of learning and in terms of opening the discussion on particularly with regards to the intention that the person must have in when they want the children to start the memorization of the Holy Quran. I made a reference of this again in my book when I opened the discussion on teaching children the memorization of the Quran. And we speak about, I quoted in terms of, from the opening of this particular chapter, I quoted Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani, wherein something to the effect he made a statement that if all the people who was religious enthusiasm and with noble intention, and they thinking of course of the year after, and thinking of the Akhirah, they dedicate their children to become servants of Islam. That is a natural inclination of parents who are involved with dini work, who are involved in propagation work, that they would like their children to follow suit. And if by virtue of this, they do certain things at home in order to make the environment such that the child will be able to follow that particular way, right? They will experience some sort of the grace and bounty that Allah has bestowed on Sayyidatina Maryam alayhi salam, as mentioned in the verse. This verse in the Quran, our understanding of the story of Sayyidatina Maryam, obviously the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, that she implored Allah when news was given to her that she will be receiving or be giving birth. She made an intention that irrespective of the gender of this child, that I would like my child to be in the service of Deen. That was her intention. No matter what, my child will be in the service of Deen. And we have seen, and subhanAllah, Allah has accepted that dua, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. Allah has accepted this particular dua from her, and just amazing, subhanAllah, what a personality Sayyidatina Maryam alayhi salam was, and her effect, or in fact she's one of the greatest women to ever live on this earth. And it all started out with that particular intention from the mother. Of course it was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the intention of the mother that this child that is in my womb now, I would like this child to become a reciter of the Quran. I would like this child to become a worker in deen. I would like this child to be whatever. I would want this child. This is the intention that you make when your child is in your womb. Another important aspect in what we also learn and we know, that while the child is in the womb of the parent, the child is well aware of what is happening outside of the womb. The child is aware in terms of the voices. When a child gets born, easily the child will recognize the voices of those who have been around him or her during the time when the child was in the womb. So during this time, it is ideally important to recite the Quran as much as possible. Not only will it relieve the pangs and the pain of pregnancy, that is that a woman experienced during pregnancy, but also the child would become accustomed to the recitation of the Quran. We see many children after being born that wherever the parent recites the verses of the Quran, immediately the child becomes calm and the child enjoys to a certain extent the recitation of the Quran. So it's important that from these very, very, very early stages that we introduce the child to the recitation of the Quran. Now the child is born, the child is in a household where we try as far as possible to have a daily environment in our homes, and we try to encourage the recitation of Quran, if not by ourselves, but by others that is around us. So maybe we play, if we're not able to recite the Quran proficiently, we play series of the Quran. Whenever we travel, we have a CD playing in the room, in the vehicle, or we have a CD playing at home, and wherever we go, where the recitation of the Quran takes place. And these are all ways that we can prepare our children for the memorization of the Quran. We remember and we learn and we know that many the best way that the child learns is through incidental learning, not by putting the child in a formal setting at a young age, and the child has to sit behind the desk and we can't expect them to write and to learn in that particular way, but rather we provide certain environments and we create the environment such that it would be conducive for learning. And where the child, through doing various activities, whether it is playing with puzzles or Play-Doh or whatever toys that the child is being introduced with, that we use it with the intention to develop certain aspects of the child. And when you look at the Quran recitation playing in the background, you amazingly will find how the child would later on pick up this recitation, and you will be surprised when the child from his or own self will start reciting that what they have memorized incidentally just by listening to it that is playing over the from the background. So if you want to start looking at the formal way of teaching the child how to memorize the Quran, of course keeping the age of the child in mind, the child is young, and the child is able to read physically, to open a book, to open the mushaf and to follow and to recite through the printed text of the Quran. Rather, what we do is we bring the children together. It normally helps to have a few children learning together, as that would obviously put the pressure off from the other. Children like to compete with themselves. They like and they learn better from other children, often more than what they would learn from the caregivers. So we get a few children together and we recite the Quran with them, word by word, verse by verse. We recite, we repeat it over and over until the child retains these verses in his memory and is able to recite it back to you aloud. We continue in this particular way. Of course, we can't expect to recite a whole surah of the Quran at one go, and then the child would have internalized it. Rather, we do it slowly, one verse at a time, and the child repeats, the child recites back. And the same like how we have in a normal high school, you have your new lesson, you have your back lesson, you have your what is known as door or your revision. You should have a program like that in place as well. If the child does a new lesson, whatever new is being learned, the time is being given in terms of revising that it was learned afresh, and then also it was learned some time ago, that we give or we accommodate for that also in our program, that every day things that we've learned maybe last week or the week before, we memorize or we rehearse and revise those lessons again.
Respected listeners, we are speaking to Qari Muntaha Kenny, and we are speaking with regards to childhood development in terms of learning Quran. Qari Sahib, I want to put you on the spot and ask you a question. What would you advise, and I know your collection of reciters are plentiful, perhaps second to none, who would be somebody that would be appropriate for a child to listen to in terms of recitation of Quran? Which Qari would be a ideal CD or ideal recording for one of the parents to purchase or to download in terms of reciting Quran?
Yes, I think that the best would really be from Egypt, Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Minshawi or Sheikh Khalil Husari. These two reciters are normally considered as the best of the reciters in terms of the pace that they recite and the clarity of the recitation, the tajweed, etc. But I think with both of them, there is a CD available, or you can download it from the internet. Easily you can download it. It's called the Mu'allim CD, or where you would find that the reciter, in terms of these two reciters that I've mentioned, Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Minshawi, that one is more popularly found, where he recites, and then there is another voice following him in the recitation. It is very slow, it is very clear, and it is easy to follow. You have the reciter reading a verse from the Quran, and it is followed by a younger voice repeating that it was recited. We've used it in classes, and we see that even with the young ones, they enjoy it, and they can follow it easily. Because, you have the young voice following, so they would imagine or they can relate to that being their own, and that eases the experience in memorizing that it was recited. And also, at the same time, try and get someone who recites with a beautiful tune, because naturally, a beautiful tune attracts the attention of the listener. And therefore, if we have particular with the little children, when they listen to the Quran being recited beautifully, they listen to it more attentively than what it would maybe be normal talking. You can't expect a child to sit in a talk or a lecture and be attentive for a long period. But when you have something that interests the child or that can grasp the attention of the child, then that would obviously cause the child to be able to latch on and to be more attentive to that is being recited in the language.
Respected listeners, we are coming and we are speaking about childhood development and the importance of it with regards to the children in terms of the Holy Quran. Thus far, what we've discussed is the fact that children are able to grasp in terms of their cognitive patterns from a very young age, and from this we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our guest made mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised to teach the younger ones from the age of 7 to read Quran, but to read Salah at the age of 7, you would have already educated the child for many different aspects, the takbirat, the qirat. Much education would have needed to have already taken place for the child at the age of 7 to start now the practical salah and learning that. Also, we discussed that from a young age, try and read Quran as a parent as much as possible, especially the mothers when the baby is still in the womb. Try and get yourself accustomed, get the baby accustomed to reading of Quran. Obviously, like how we've discussed last week, intention is paramount. A person needs to make noble intentions for ikhlas, sincerity, from the very beginning, wanting the child to learn only for the sake of Allah and not any other ulterior motive or purposes as well. The parent as well should look at group teaching. Sometimes children, Karisab mentioned, by sitting in a group, they are more competitive, they want to outdo one another, they motivate one another, they also teach one another. And this is something that children can learn from each other as well. In terms of going forward, Karisab, what are some of the other aspects a parent can do for a child to teach the child correct reciting of Quran?
Sometimes what we often do in terms of teaching our children or good mannerism and now in this case we're talking about learning the Quran, is that you have incentives. If you do something good or if you perform well at school, etc., and then we will give you this particular gift as a reward. Now sometimes there is good in it and there could also be, it can also be not as good for our children, in the sense that as the child is growing up, the child will be accustomed to receive a reward for whatever they do. So if you don't give them the chocolate, don't be motivated to do something in order to obtain that particular item that you have promised or whatever the expectation is. So there should be a balance between granting incentives to the children and also putting the mind or in the mind of the child the importance of doing things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like we had in our discussion last week, we spoke about number one, the intention. The number two, the tawheed, understanding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important aspect that we need to inculcate in our children from a young age. Number three, the dua of a parent that plays a major role in the success of the child and what the child is to become. Don't be afraid to make dua on your children. We know that the dua of a parent is more readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This prayer that you make for your child might change or become the catalyst of change in your child's life, whether your child is in the formative years or whether your child has matured already. Maybe your child is already an adult. Alright? Continue praying for your children, making dua for your children, that Allah takes the best out of them, or make the best out of them and make them pure and good role models and inspiration to others as well. So these are the most important aspects to keep in mind when rearing children. and teaching them and wanting to inculcate the Quran into them.
Sahab, in terms of closure, what closing remarks can you make for our listeners this morning?
In terms of concluding the remarks, it is important that we keep in mind that our children has been given to us as a gift or a loan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as now we will return to Him, our children will return to Allah as well. And we will be asked regarding the rights of the child. And one of these rights that the child, that we need to give the child is the right of education, of good education. So we'll be asked regarding the type of education that we have given our children. And there's nothing better than good upbringing of and good mannerism and Islamic mannerism and learning. There's nothing better than learning and memorizing the Quran, because that Quran will be the cause of the success of that child, and not only for the child but for the parent as well on the day of Qiyamah. So many virtues there is on memorizing the Quran, and of those who memorize the Quran, we know that in terms of the parents, that they would have certain, they would be adorned and beautified on the day of Qiyamah. They have crowns placed on their head, and that would be on account of their children having memorized the Quran. And we will see the success of our children on that particular day when they will be told to rise and to ascend the stages of heaven, of Jannah, in terms of what they have memorized of the Quran. May Allah make it such that we will be able to realize this for all our children and for ourselves too. If we have not started, and if we may be shy to memorize the Quran, it's never too late to start in our personal capacity too, and in terms of raising our children and praying for them and making such environment that would be conducive for them learning the Quran.
Jazakallah once again, Qari Sahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your effort, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your institute a success, inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Sheikh Qari Muntaha Kenny from Cape Town, a good friend of ours, alhamdulillah. Qari Sahab is involved in the Quran, South African Quran Union, arranging Quran and Qiraat jalsas in the different areas. They also have a Qiraat competition once a year. I know for the last 2 years it's been held in Bosmont, and they also, alhamdulillah, doing some sterling work in the field of qira'ah and the field of recitation and memorization of Quran. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with a tremendous art of working with young children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that our children also become hafiz of the Holy Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make each one of us the lovers of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that He appreciates those people that make an effort in terms of wanting to have that attachment with Quran. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has family. So the angels asked, would be the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Nabi of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ahlul Quran, ahlullahi wa khassatu. Those are the people of Quran. They are the special guest, the special bondsman, the special creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among the ahlul Quran. We take an ad break. We listen to a nasheed, inshallah. We take the news. After the news, inshallah, we pay you a lecture of Mufti Motara, and thereafter, inshallah, we have the pledge line, we have the Q&A, inshallah, as well, and we obviously we have the omnibus of the drama series that will be playing right till carries on throughout the afternoon. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International, and inshallah, you would be inspired, you would be motivated, and also you would take a keen interest in the drama series. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.